Your choice, your music, at your bedside. Coventry Hospital Radio. Clive Brooks. This is Coventry Hospital Radio.
You're listening to Coventry Hospital Radio, bringing comfort, company, and a bit of adventure to your day. Today we're joined by a man who battled the elements, faced down nature with nothing but grit, and he'd done it all in the nude. Yeah, my guest today is Jamie Wildman Frizzell, and he's a Scottish-born survivalist, outdoor educator, and a familiar face from Discovery Channel's Naked and Afraid franchise. I love watching him, he's brilliant, he was. With a background rooted in wilderness training and a passion for pushing human limits, Jamie's here to share a couple of his stories from his wilds, lessons in resilience, put the right teeth in, and a few laughs along the way. But before we start talking to Jamie, I just thought I'd play a little bit of one of his clips.
Did you hear that? Famous tartan kilt. I'm going to put Scotland on a map, make sure it's known for its survival.
So you want to try and take the moss off, just roll it up like a carpet.
I've always been doing survival and bushcraft.
That is a big beetle.
Teaching people about the outdoors and how to handle themselves when they're out there. I feel alive when I'm there.
Yeah, so whether you're recovering, resting, or just turning in for some inspiration, this one is for you. Let's welcome Jamie to Coventry Hospital Radio. Hello, Jamie, how are you?
Hello, everyone. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. How are you?
I'm really well, mate. Thank you. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you're really busy. And I know you've just done a Naked and Afraid solos, season 3, which is fantastic. I won't give any spoilers away just yet. But before we get into Naked and Afraid and how that was for you, can you tell me a little bit about your Scottish roots and how they influence your love for the outdoors?
Yeah, so growing up, especially where I'm from here in Scotland and Ayrshire, it's just kind of well known to be outdoors. Everybody's kind of in the same kind of level. We're always outdoors exploring, that kind of thing. And I was brought up in that kind of sense. So it's always been second nature for me. And then I got the honour to be on a show like Naked and Afraid, and I couldn't turn it down.
That's brilliant, because you had a YouTube channel before Naked and Afraid, didn't you? So I remember seeing you mention that in season 13 when you was on it, and I've been and looked at that, which is really good. But what sparked your interest in survival skills and bushcraft?
So I've always kind of been interested in the outdoors, and then growing up I was watching people like Bear Grylls and Ray Mears and Ed Stafford, and when I was just a bit old enough to go out and do it myself, when I was like 18 I could drive to these places and set up camp, I started doing that. And I started watching YouTube videos and just learning and going out and making mistakes and learning from it and going back out. Just kind of self-taught myself, really, and watching some of the big names on TV to gain inspiration. And that's how it all started, really.
So was you always a bit of a wild child growing up?
I would say I was a bit of a wild child. As I said, my family's right into the outdoors, so we were always going camping and stuff like that. And I was just left to my own devices, really.
It is brilliant, because when I first seen you on Naked and Afraid, because I'm a massive fan, like I said, when I reached out to you, you came on, you was this brave Scotsman. I remember you took the kilt off and you had nothing underneath the kilt. So, but, I mean, when you first went there, because you did it in South Africa the first time, what was going through your mind when you first agreed to do Naked and Afraid? And also, what was going through your mind when you first got naked and then you seen your partner, who sadly only lasted 3 days before she took ill?
Right, so that was, as you said, that was my first challenge. And then before starting the challenge, the production crew give you a brief on what to expect because it's your first one. And they did say that when you're taking your clothes off, because day one is such a big day for production, there's going to be like 20 people in front of you watching. And I was like, right, okay. And they says, some of them are going to be on their phones, typing stuff. Some of them are going to be writing notes. Some of them are just going to be watching you. The guy says, don't worry about it. They're just doing a job. This is what they do. They're used to it. And, and yeah, so when I jumped off that truck, started to take my kit off, there was about 20 people looking at me, and it was a bit daunting. But just got to get it done. It's a part of the challenge, and as you said, it's their job. It's what they're used to, you know. So it made it a wee bit better when they explained all that to me.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Because I mean, when you're watching it, my wife was a nurse, and she's like, oh yeah, we see naked bodies all the time. It's fine. But then every time we watch it, we're always like, oh no, it must be really daunting when you first get your kit off, and then you're seeing your partner. And that must be, I mean, because you're both naked, that must be a little bit awkward.
It was a bit weird, aye. That is the first time we actually get to see each other.
Oh, really?
Aye, so a lot of people think, oh, we stayed in the same hotel, we got to know each other before. We don't. On the first one, we do not know who our partner is. So, yeah, that was the first time I seen her, and I seen her naked as well. So, of course, it's a bit kind of off-putting. But it is what it is. You just got to crack on and think, just stay in the survival mindset, because there's a huge task in front of me. Yeah. So I've just got to keep thinking about that, you know.
It was, because your show was USA versus the world, and you was from obviously Scotland, and then your partner was from Canada, weren't they? And then we had two people from the USA. But your partner, she struggled a little bit. Well, she struggled a lot, didn't she, with the water?
I don't know what that was, but it's still to this day, I don't know what it was, but all I could try and do was try and make it better for her. So I tried lots of different things, making water filters, digging a gypsy well to try and seep the water through the soil, lots of different things, and nothing was working.
Now, you did more in them 3 days trying to purify water than a lot of contestants do in 21 days, didn't you? Because she's really trying to make it better for her, wasn't you?
I was just scrambling to try and make it better. I knew that I could survive myself, and I've shown that since then.
Yes, you have.
But it's not about that. It's about trying to keep the other person in the game, you know. It's all about the other person, and because it's their experience as well. It's their first experience, and you want them to go home and tell the family how well they did. So that's all that was on my mind at that point.
It was, and the show is really extreme. So what's the biggest mental or physical challenge you faced during filming?
Oh man, there's been a few. I've had a few close calls during these challenges. I've did four challenges now.
Didn't you have one where you was in the cave? Was it a lion or a tiger was behind you?
That's right. So that was yes. A solo challenge. I was outside that. It was a wee tiny cave, just big enough to put a fire in. So I thought, right, I'll put the fire in there, keeps it out of the rain, and I'll just sit outside. So I was just sitting, chilling by the fire one night, and I heard some growling noises in the trees, and it kept happening. It got louder and louder, and it was like almost going all the way around my camp. And I knew exactly what it was. It was a jaguar, because they stalk you. They watch you constantly for days and days.
Wow.
And then they start to move in slowly. So I knew what it was, and I got my night vision camera set up, and I could see it, and it was staring right at me. Yeah. So... I mean, that was a scary moment, but
it was just watching it as well. We're thinking, oh no!
I know, and the thing that a lot of people would want to do is let fear overtake them and submit to fear and panic. But I feel like animals can sense that, and especially a jaguar who's out to eat will just sense that and go straight after you. So you've got to be brave. You've got to put your fear behind you and focus on the task at hand. Pick up your machete. and be ready to fight at any moment, you know.
That must be the Scottish in you. I think I would. Well, I was scared just watching it. I mean, how do you prepare for something as intense as that, as also being dropped into the wild with nothing? Because I thought, until you just said that you had the 20 people around you, that you always had someone near you with guns. So if anything did come near you, that they'd stop it and like snakes and that lot. But it's not true, is it? You're on your own. So how do you prepare for that?
Yeah, so it's good you mentioned that. Yeah, on the first day, there's like 20 people watching you. That's just the production day. But after that, there's just maybe 3 people through the day. And then at night time, they go away to camp, which is like 2 miles away.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was quite a distance away. So you're just there yourself with the camera set up roundabout. To prepare yourself for a challenge like that, I know a lot of survivalists now from Naked and Afraid. And a lot of people try and train their feet. So they walk around barefoot and try and toughen up their feet for the challenge. I mean, I have did that in the past, but I'm a firm believer that it's all in your mind. If you can really get into almost like a meditation state and tell yourself that you're going to be surviving, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be the hardest thing you've ever did. And just, it's almost like you're accepting what's about to happen. And I feel like that's the biggest training you can do for these challenges.
Yeah, because like you said, you have done four challenges. You did the one with USA versus the world. You did a solo one, like you mentioned, but you also did another one, but you got took out really early. About 3 days?
It was on day two, and it was an XL challenge in Peru for 60 days. So I had to go on about the afternoon time of day two because I got absolutely tore up by mosquitoes.
My
body started reacting really bad to them. I'd say that's one of the scariest moments of all of my challenges. My jaw locked shut. I started going delirious, like all wavy. It genuinely felt as though I'd been on some heavy, heavy drugs. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, because your body was all swollen, wasn't it? And you didn't have any white bits on your body. It was all red and swollen, wasn't it?
Oh, it was horrible, aye. And so I had to get out. And still to this day, they've edited it in a way that made it seem as though I tapped out. But the medics, it's not really like that. The medics wanted me out of there. I went straight to hospital after that.
Yeah.
And I got loads of treatment done because I was going through, I think they call it anaphylactic shock.
Oh, wow.
Where you've got that much of an allergic reaction, your body goes into shock and starts tensing up. And yeah, it's crazy.
It's mad, wasn't it? So, before we move on from Naked and Afraid, you've just done solos. No, you haven't. You've just done season three of Last Man Standing.
Yep.
That was a really difficult watch for us, especially because we was rooting for you, being from Scotland. That we really wanted you to go far, but you didn't have it easy, did you? Because your partners didn't seem to be great, even though I've seen them on different Naked and Afraid. I think Last Man Standing is totally different to a normal Naked and Afraid, isn't it?
Oh, it's like a completely different show. It's quite interesting. I enjoy the concept of it. So Last One Standing is, for the people that don't know, I think it's about 14 people. They all compete on different challenges. They're all surviving for about 40 days, and they're competing on different challenges every maybe 3 days or so.
Yeah.
And they're winning different items. They are progressing on to the next levels. Some people go home. Some people get put out. And at the end, the last one standing will win $100,000. So that's what it's all about. I got paired up with some other survivalists, and they are great people. I'm not gonna speak bad about them at all. They are amazing people in their own way. It just so happens that when it came to the challenge, the communication wasn't there. I've got a heavy Scottish voice. Right now I'm talking really polite. But if I was to talk my native language, like, you wouldn't have a clue what I'm saying.
People say that about me, Jamie.
I can imagine. So you're being very polite right now. I can make out what you're saying. But the Americans, they didn't have a clue. And I'm trying to, when it's fast paced and we're trying to get these challenges complete, we cannot hear what I can hear what they're saying, but they cannot understand what I'm saying. And it was very, very tough.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't watched the show yet and you don't want any spoilers, maybe for the next 30 seconds just turn the sound down, because we had Tricky, who nicked your fishing line.
Yep.
And then you collapsed because you was doing the bush shelter, the shack one, weren't you? And then you was out in the sun, and it just got you, didn't it? But you didn't stop until you collapsed.
Hi. So yeah, Tricky. His name is Patrick, for people who don't know. So he is like the villain, and I was a kind of cheeky guy as well, but he is the ultimate villain, and he goes around and steals things off of people. He managed to steal a fishing line off of me, and it was a kind of awkward moment when he stole it off me, because I had four lines set out passively catching fish, and I was standing there, and I didn't want to rush over and grab one, because then that leaves three open to him. So I thought, I'll stand here and hopefully he'll go away. Long story short, he ran in, he saw a line, and he grabbed it. So immediately I went to the other three and started untying them so that those were secure.
Yeah.
A lot of people were saying, oh, why didn't you go and take it off him? Because I was too busy taking the other three lines out.
It was strange, wasn't it? Because in Last Man Standing Season 1, you could do that. in season two, they said you couldn't take anybody else's items, you had to use your own. And then they brought it back for season three. And like you said, Patrick's playing a villain, isn't he? Because when he did the other Naked and Afraid, he was a real good team player. But in Last Man Standing, he's a wind-up version, isn't it? How did you feel when you took your fishing line? Because Bat's going to feed you, and then I know he weren't going to let you use his bow and arrow, was he?
No. And that's the thing with Last One Standing. The rules do state that you can steal items. The new rules of Last One Standing state that you can steal items. And that's fair enough. He's playing the game. I get it. The thing is, I had 9 hooks left. So I had 10 hooks altogether. He stole one and a little piece of fishing line. I was not concerned about that at all. I still had 9 hooks and a big reel of fishing line. So it did not faze me. And the way I thought is, he's obviously out trying to steal items, so he must need it that badly. I'll let him have it, do you know what I mean? I don't care. Just turn the other cheek kind of thing. But you did point on the challenge where I collapsed.
Yes.
So that was the shelter challenge. Yes, so it all started where we were all in a line, and we had to run and grab a circle that was set up for us.
Yep.
Now, the circles were... They weren't in a line parallel to our line. They were facing away from us. So the first, how many was it? I think it was like 5 circles. I think the first 4 circles were in shade, and the last one was in complete direct sunlight.
Yep.
Now I says to Trish, I says, we need to run as fast as we can because I do not want to be in direct sunlight. No one does. And Trish is absolutely amazing. She's a really good friend of mine's, but she didn't run. She just kind of quickly walked to the circles. So I sprinted as fast as I could. I grabbed a circle that was in the shade. But unfortunately, all the teammates need to be in the circle for you to claim it. So Trish was, she didn't get there in time. And someone claimed the circle that I was standing in. So I had to move to the next one. And eventually ended up in the circle in direct sunlight by the time Trish got to me. So that was the challenge was damned right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Sun was beating down on my Scottish body and I just couldn't take it. I kept working right up until the last minute where I collapsed.
You did, yeah. You did, and it was heartbreaking to watch. It's like you said, we was rooting for you, and you didn't stop until you basically hit the floor and you had to come into you. And it's quite scary because you was unresponsive for a little bit, wasn't you? Your pulse wasn't very good, and then they had to whip you out straight away. Obviously, you're over that now. You bounced back quite quickly when they gave you fluids.
So I don't remember much from... I don't remember much from starting constructing the shelter. I think I was going a wee bit delirious right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was building... I've not actually seen this episode yet. I'm just hearing from what people's told me. But apparently, I tried to build the shelter using bendy vines.
Yes, you used the flimsy like bamboo, but it wasn't bamboo, because it's in there.
It was like rope, basically. Yes. And thinking back, I'm like, why did I do that? I must have, my head was getting fried in the sun, and I was just making loads of mistakes. And I ended up passing out, and I don't remember much from it. I lost a tooth as well. I don't know why I lost a tooth. I came to it in hospital and there was a big gap right up the back of my mouth.
Funny you should say that. One of my questions is, how do you manage to eat out there? And how do you manage to be safe? Because talking about losing a tooth, I went on a stag do about 5 or 6 weeks ago and I ate a soft piece of garlic bread and knocked my front tooth out. I don't understand how. I just ate this garlic bread on this stag do, and my front, I wasn't even drinking, and my front tooth just popped out. And I said to Kim, I said, I don't know how you all cope and not no one lose any bodily parts or teeth or anything, but you all seem to cope, don't you?
I mean, there is some times where people have injuries and things like that, but I guess it's just, you're in survival mode, so you really need to watch yourself as much as you would back home. You're on proper high alert.
There's some contestants what are more risk-taking than others, like EJ. He fell out of a tree, didn't he, and ripped his nether regions.
Yes.
The one who, I can't remember his name, Shikon, who eats anything, he just picks up anything.
Gary Golden.
That's the one. and he just eats anything, doesn't he? Doesn't matter. He's been there. I mean, I've seen one where he attacked a wasp nest to get some honey. It's just mad, isn't it?
Gary is absolutely amazing. He's one of my best pals. I actually spent. He was on my Peru challenge.
Yes.
And I also, something that a lot of people don't know is I get flown out to South Africa for Last One Standing 2 as a backup, just in case anyone tapped out before the challenge. And obviously Gary was on that challenge, so I spent a bit of time in South Africa with him again. And he's such a nice guy, but he is absolutely mental.
Yes.
He will eat anything. He will climb any tree. He'll do anything just to make people laugh.
That's what took him out, wasn't it? Because he had the eye? And he got some sort of condition from it, didn't he?
No, he put the crocodile's eye on top of his eye.
Oh, that was it, yes. And then he caught something and he couldn't see, yeah.
That's right, aye. Yeah, he's a bit of a strange guy, but he's great. He's amazing, and all he wants is just to make people happy.
Yeah, they are brilliant. So I know you in Last Man Standing. You're fighting for $100,000. Do you get paid when you do normal Naked and Afraid?
Of course, we get paid for all challenges that we do for our time, especially even if we're on standby, like what I was in South Africa. I can't exactly say how much we get paid, but we have to get paid for our time.
That's okay. I was thinking, oh no, if you go out there for 21 days and don't get paid nothing when you get home, oh no, you can tell your family. But that's Naked and Afraid. Let's move on a slightly bit, because if someone wanted to learn the basics of wilderness survival, where should they start? They could go to your YouTube channel, but where else could they start?
Yeah, so they could go to my YouTube channel, as you said, and there's a lot of how-to videos on there. They are quite outdated, but it's all the same stuff. And depending on where you are in the country, there's got to be some sort of survival company nearby that'll train you up. I do know a really good friend of mine who lives down in Plymouth. His name's Steve Kelly. He owns a company called Southwest Survival. I would definitely recommend getting in touch with him if you want to learn some hands-on experience. I used to do events and I don't anymore, so I just fill in when he needs my help during events. I go and help him out.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's got to be some survival groups close to you that you can get involved in, or you could do what I done and just go out and make mistakes and learn from them. But I definitely wouldn't advise that, because I've had some hairy moments.
Do you have any go-to survival tips that's useful even in everyday life?
So, the obvious ones, if you're going to go out and do, let's say, a hike, or even just out for the day out in the wild, tell someone where you're going to be. Tell someone where you're going to park your car or where you're going to start. Also, another good tip is turn your voicemail. So if you can record a new voicemail, record a voicemail saying, I'm out doing this hike today. I started in this location. If you can't get hold of me by X amount of time, then start panicking.
That's a good tip, actually.
It is, because a lot of people go out to these places and there's no signal and people are trying to phone them and it's going to voicemail. That could be your key moment to send information to people of where your last sighting was. So that's a huge thing. But also, just if you're going out into the wild, carry a wee survival kit with you. Even if you don't really know how to use it, just carry it with you, because when you're in a survival situation, your brain will start operating to almost 100% of its capacity, and you'll be able to do things that you had never even thought of before. So take a survival kit, and it might just save your life, and a first aid kit as well.
That's brilliant advice, mate. So let's move on to mindset and motivation. So survival situations push people to the limits. You've already touched on how you said it's about your mental mindset. So how did you keep your mindset so strong? Because Naked and Afraid solo, you had 24 hours a day where you was on your own. How did you cope like that, and how did you keep strong and keep going? Because you smashed that.
Yeah. So it's a great question, and when it comes to things like, you know, medical emergency stuff that we cannot do anything, it's out of our control. That's in its own kind of aspect. But there's things that you can overcome, just like being uncomfortable, being cold, being wet, being miserable, hungry, that kind of thing. And it's all just about what you tell yourself. So when I'm on these challenges, obviously it's not real to a certain point. I can go home whenever I want, it's real. The survival is real, but I can go home whenever I want and end the challenge. But what I tell myself is I give myself a real-life example. So in South Africa, for instance, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but I told myself that I was out on a safari and I fell off the back of the truck. And they didn't realise that I'd fell off, but I know that they're going to come back round in 3 weeks' time. So all I need to do is hunker down and wait for them to come back round. So that told me that this is real, and all I need to do is just wait 3 weeks for that truck to come back round. And that's what kept me in that challenge.
That's a great way of doing it, isn't it? Because you got hope.
It's just about telling yourself wee stories and believing them. That's quite hard to do, but that's what I did.
Yes.
When it came to my solo challenge, that was a bit different.
Yes.
I had experience from doing South Africa, and I really just told myself this is what I want to do, especially when I tried to do a challenge in Peru. And I got sick and I had to go to hospital. That was the jungle. I told myself, I need to go back to the jungle and I need to tick it off my list. So there was that motivation as well. And there was no way I was going to tap out. I had hypothermia during that challenge as well.
Yes.
Nothing was going to stop me from leaving. And I don't know what, I wish I could explain it. I guess maybe in a few years or something I'll be able to explain it. But right now, it's hard to explain where my mind was. It's like I became someone who I'm not in everyday life. I just became an absolute animal, and everything was up for grabs, you know.
Yeah, because in the Peru, the production team said after, didn't they, that because she was so poorly in the night time, that wouldn't happen now because, like I said, the hypothermia kicked in. But somehow you came back from that, and you smashed the challenge.
That's right. I do you know something? I've not actually watched the full of the solo series, so. I've not seen that part, but speaking from me being there, during the night, I don't remember much, but I do remember that I was recording what I was saying, and the words I was saying wasn't really making sense. I passed out and I woke up, obviously my fire went out, and I passed out and I woke back up to the production crew arriving to the camp. They took my camera away to look over the footage like what they do every morning. And they came back, and the producer says to the camera guys, right, cut the cameras here. And they had a chat with me, and he says, don't let that ever happen again.
He says,
the medics looked over that footage, and he says, you were getting hypothermia. You shouldn't have woken up this morning.
Yeah,
so if that ever happens, radio us. But I know if I radio them for help, I'm going to be out. That's going to be the end of my challenge.
Sometimes it's worth a radio call.
I guess so. I looking back at it, oh, definitely, I was a lucky guy that time.
You was. So, what could you say to people who feel stuck or overwhelmed? Maybe some of our listeners in hospital, and they need a mental boost. What could you say to give them maybe a kick up to get them going?
And that's the thing. Everybody's going through their own struggles, which I completely appreciate. Everybody. It's a matter of perspective. What's tough for me might not be tough for someone else, and vice versa. But if you're going through a hard time right now, I know it sounds quite condescending, but what I tell myself is if I'm going through a hard time, I think, right, can I still see? Am I breathing? Am I still coherent? Can I hear things? Can I think about things? Right, let's move forward. Do you know what I mean? We're not completely at the end here. Let's move forward and let's come up with an action plan. Let's get to where we're wanting to go. This hard time, it'll pass. It'll pass over. You just need to keep on going, keep on fighting, and eventually things will work out. It always does work out. It always does.
It does, isn't it? Because our hardest days are behind us, aren't they? Because we got through them, which is really good. So
exactly.
A couple of lighter and fun questions for you. What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten in the wild?
Strangest thing.
You had crab legs. You had the crab, didn't you, when you was in USA versus the world, and you said you never had some so big, weren't it?
No, the crab was great, but
yeah.
The strangest thing that I've ever eaten was what's called a kukri grub, and that was on my solo challenge. Now, you get this tree and it has little nuts on it, and like a little tiny grub makes its way into the nut. And it starts eating all the insides of the nut. And because of that, the nut falls to the ground. And then the grub starts eating its way out of the nut. So when I go up to this tree and I'm looking at the nuts round about, I'm picking them up, and if they've got a little hole in them, then it means the grub's escaped. But if there's no hole, it means there's still a grub inside it. So I cracked it open, picked out the grub, and those were probably the strangest things I've ever eaten.
Wow.
When you eat them raw, it kind of tastes milky and almost like coconutty, but it has a aftertaste of sickness, which is quite strange. But then when you cook them, it tastes like, the only way to describe it is like chip pan oil with a bit of Parmesan cheese on top.
Even me.
Lovely at the time. It was amazing at the time when I was hungry, but yes, right now it's actually disgusting.
It's amazing what you eat when you're hungry, isn't it? Because
you can eat anything, man.
Yeah. I suppose you have to, because it is that survival mode, isn't it? You think, I've got to put something in me to keep you going.
Exactly, that's what it's all about.
Have you ever been a moment in the wild where you just thought, what am I doing here?
Aye, quite a few times, every single day. Every single day I have that thought, and it's usually when I'm about to go, or when I need to go and collect firewood, I think, why am I here? Why am I constantly going and collecting firewood when I could be at home, you know, sitting watching TV? So every single day, but again, going back to what I was talking about, a bit of motivation, you've got to pick yourself up and you've got to think, I'll get through this. Yeah, I've got to collect firewood. My fire's going out. I'm hungry. I'm tired. But you've got to get through it, because at night time, when you're settled down, you've got your firewood and your fire's going, you'll feel a lot better.
Yeah, because a lot of contestants, didn't they never seem to get enough firewood, and then they panicked where some people get loads and loads of firewood, don't they?
Aye.
But I don't understand why some of them only get a little bit of firewood. Like, I don't understand why some of them don't build a proper shelter. And then they moan it's cold.
Aye, firewood is so important, but shelter's also very important as well. And it depends on what your challenge is like. So for Last One Standing, we knew that we could have moved at any point. The production crew could have moved us, and that's a part of the challenge. So we didn't spend ages building big shelters and that. I just roughed it. I knew the weather was going to be good, so I just roughed it.
Yeah, it did look strange, because you all didn't have a shelter, did you? I mean, Patrick had the big hide, which made stay a lot better, wasn't it? But what's next for you? Any more wild adventures? Any more projects we need to watch out for? Any more Naked and Afraid?
So I've nothing in the pipeline just yet. Currently, the Last One Standing series is being aired right now. The third episode is about to be aired. In fact, it was aired last night.
Yeah.
It was aired last night on Discovery Plus. So if anyone's got Discovery Plus, they can jump on and watch that. But right now, I've not done any other challenges. But of course, I am always in talks with Discovery Channel, and I've definitely not finished. You'll see a lot more of me.
Brilliant. I mean, when was Last Man Standing filmed? Was it a long time ago, or was it like a month ago?
So Last One Standing was filmed last September.
Oh, okay.
In Australia.
Okay, yeah. Because I didn't realise it was that long ago, I suppose, because I thought it was quite recent. I suppose it's only six months, isn't it? So the time they're doing it production, it would be about now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they had a lot going on round about that time as well. And you've got to remember, they've got to edit it all.
Yes.
And editing takes an enormous amount of time.
I suppose because even though it's called Naked and Afraid, we never ever see any contestant naked, because they had the blurred out vision for the women and the men, don't they?
Yeah.
So I suppose that must take a long time to get, or that makes sure that's in the right place.
Oh, definitely. That would probably take up the most amount of time. But it's funny you mentioned that, because I got an email from Channel 4 a few years ago asking me to do a show called Naked, Alone and Racing to Get Home.
Yes.
And it was on Channel 4, and they were completely naked. There was no blood.
Yeah, walking through the countryside.
Aye. And as soon as they said that to me on email, I said, nah, no chance. It's a hard no. I'm definitely not going to do that challenge.
Yeah, I watched that, because I thought it'd be something like Naked and Afraid, and it wasn't. Nothing nowhere near. And this man and this woman was totally in the buff, and they walked past these hikers and just sat and spoke to them. And I was thinking, wow. That I could never do that. But I could never do Naked and Afraid either.
The guy was a Scouser, is that right?
Yes.
That, That's my best pal.
Oh, okay.
He's my pal. That's Stephen Kelly. So that's Stephen Kelly that owns Southwest Survival.
He just stood there and spoke to him with his partner and just like it was nothing.
Yep.
I was like, no.
those two people, that's Stephen Kelly and his wife Jennifer Kelly.
That was it. They was married.
They have both. They have both done a Naked and Afraid challenge as well.
Oh, have they? I don't remember seeing them on that one. Okay, I have to look that up.
Aye, so they obviously I was the first person in the UK, and then after that they came along and they done their two challenges. Ooh. As well.
I thought I'd seen every episode. I have to go back and look now. But
so you want to jump on and give them a follow and check them out?
I will do straight after this. If you could take anyone living or dead on a survival adventure with you, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question, that, isn't it?
I try and make it a bit hard, and I try and chuck something in there.
I don't know. Like, just straight off the top of my head, a Naked and Afraid challenge.
Any adventure you'd like, any survival adventure you'd like to do?
Straight off the top of my head, I'd like to take my dad out.
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Just to show him exactly what I go through. I wouldn't like to be naked with him, obviously, but... straight off the top of my head, probably my dad. It'd be cool to show him what I go through and the struggles and stuff like that.
Yeah. Talking about being naked again, do you get used to it during your challenges and you just forget about it? Because there must be down times when you've got your wood, you've been scouting for your food, you've done everything you need to do. There must be downsides. Do you just sit there sometimes? Because sometimes you see them and they're sitting there with legs akimbo, legs in the air. Do you just forget about that, like, you're naked and just move on?
You just forget about it. It's not so much that you forget about it, you just accept it.
Yeah.
And the way I think about it is that the camera crew are not looking at that. When they're looking through their lenses, they're looking at the whole shot. They're making sure the shot's perfect. They're not looking at your private parts. No one is.
No.
It's their job. Even your partner, they're in the same position as you. They're naked as well, so no one's even interested in that. We're all adults. So, yeah, eventually you just accept it and you realise that not everybody's out just to watch you naked.
No.
Yeah, you end up, like, lying with your legs open and with your feet against a tree, just chilling and not caring about things.
Do you have much downtime during the day? Because I know the show's condensing that, like, new ways, but is there times you got maybe an hour where you ain't got nothing to do, or are you always busy getting resources and making sure you got enough firewood and making sure maybe you got enough food or looking for food?
Yeah, so on these challenges, especially for me, they've always been in hot countries, especially Australia. Australia was crazy hot. So during the middle kind of part of the day, that's the hottest part. You tend to stay in the shelter or underneath a tree, just, you know, keeping yourself out of the sun. So it's good to get all your firewood and everything else done in the morning and at night time, and then through the day, just stay under the shelter, maybe do some activities. You can maybe, like, carving, wood carving, building, things like that. Or just be sleeping. If you've not had a good night's sleep the night before, maybe it was raining, just get some sleep. I did a lot of sleeping through the day in Africa, because the night time was horrible.
Yeah, because that's when you all came out, weren't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of downtime, but it ranges depending on what happened the night before, what it is you end up doing, either sleeping or building.
So my last question before I let you go, and thank you so much for taking your time, but we spoke about who would take on any survival challenge. If you had to do a Naked and Afraid 60-day challenge, but you could choose three contestants to do it with you, which three contestants would you like to do it with?
Which three?
Yep.
Ah, that's a great question. So, straight up, I'll pick my pals. So, Stephen Kelly.
Yeah.
His wife, Jenny Kelly. And also my other pal, Sam Mouser. So, he's from, I think it's called the Black Country. Is it?
Yep, Dougley, Wolverhampton.
Aye. The roundabout kind of outskirts of Birmingham, I think. Is that
okay.
Right?
Okay, yep. That's it.
So he's did a Naked and Afraid challenge, and I'd love to do a challenge with those three. The four British survivalists on a challenge. I think that'd be amazing.
That'd be really good, wouldn't it? But the Americans always have their way. So, yeah. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me. Before I let you go, I'm going to play a little bit more clip, and then I'll come back.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Clive. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. I'm going to play a clip and I'll come back to you.
PSR rises from 7.1 to 8.1.
This is what it's all about.
I'm finished!
Yes.
Jessica lost a total of 32 pounds. Completing the full 21 days increases her PSR from 7.3 to 8.0.
Never give up. Come on! Yes!
Starting off, there was two international survivalists and two American survivalists. But at the end of the day, me and Jessica made it to the end. And that just shows that humans come together in any circumstance to overcome any situation. And that's exactly what we've done.
We are partner.
Yes!
Yeah, so that was Jamie Wildman-Fazal, a survivalist adventurer, an incredible example on how far determination, courage and belief in yourself can take you. And that was from his first Naked and Afraid in South Africa, when him and his USA counterpart, they made it and they walked out, and it was fantastic. Whether it's facing the wilds of the Amazon or enduring weeks with nothing but a knife at his will to survive, Jamie's stories remind us that the greatest strength doesn't come from what we carry, but that what we carry within. Here at Coventry Hospital Radio, we know that every listener is on a journey of their own. Some of you are recovering from surgery, others are adjusting to new routines, and many are simply fighting strength one day at a time. Jamie's message, stay calm under pressure, to adapt and never give up. It's not just for survival in the jungle, it's just as powerful here in hospital rooms, waiting areas, and quiet moments of uncertainty. We hope his words brought a spark of inspiration, maybe even a smile or two, and remind you that resilience is something we all have, even when we don't feel it. Like I said, a huge thank you to Jamie for sharing his wild stories and a big heart of us today. And of course, thank you for listening, whether you're a patient, member of staff, a visitor, or just tuning in to keep someone company. Until next time, keep looking forward, stay curious, and remember, you're stronger than you think, braver than you know, and never alone. Conscious Radio by your side. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Clive. It's been an absolute honour to be a part of this show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope everything gets better for you. And as Clive says, never, ever give up.
Brilliant. Great words. Take care, stay well, and keep a little bit of that wild spirit in you.
Yeah. Clive Brooks. This is Coventry Hospital Radio. Across University Hospital Coventry and online, this is Coventry Hospital Radio.